Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, our web address is crossandthrone.com. Today's topic is salvation, and I want to ask you a question. Do you have it? Are you saved? Well, first of all, let's talk about salvation, the qualifications. Let's talk about the qualifications. Now, a long time ago, a man asked the question, what must I do to be saved? That's found in the book of Acts in the Holy Bible. A man once asked, what must I do to be saved? Now, first of all, God saves the following kind of people. First of all, he saves sinners, Romans 3:23. He saves ungodly people, Romans 4:5. Notice he doesn't save godly people. He saves ungodly. Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, ungodly people. And then he says he saves those who are without strength, Romans 5, verse 6. And finally, he says he saves his enemies, Romans 5:10. So the qualifications for salvation are, one, you must be a sinner. Two, you must be ungodly. Three, you must be without strength. And four, you must be God's enemy. Now, some people think they're not any of those, but I think when you read the scriptures, you're going to find out you are. Have you ever committed a sin? Have you ever lied? Have you ever committed adultery? Have you ever looked at somebody lustfully? Have you ever took something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever coveted? That is, have you ever wanted something that doesn't belong to you? Have you loved God with all your heart? Well, if the answer to any of those questions is no, then you are a sinner. You are ungodly. You are without strength. And you're God's enemy. You've taken a stand against God. Now, if you do not think that you are any of these that we just mentioned, you cannot be saved. If you still think you're good enough, you cannot be saved. God does not save good people or people trying to earn their way through heaven. You must come to God God's way, not your own way. God is the one who tells you how to come. You must come his way, not your own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's the qualifications. The qualifications for salvation are not that you can save yourself. Only God can save you. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. Now let's talk about the basis of salvation. In Romans chapter 3, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So having read that passage, let's examine it a little. Based off of what we just read in Romans 3:23 and 24, God saves sinners on the following basis. First of all, freely. We just read that we're justified freely. Now, it doesn't cost you anything. Remember this. Salvation, and when we talk about salvation, we're talking about God declaring you righteous. Salvation does not cost you anything. It is free. You can't earn salvation by being good, and you cannot lose salvation by being bad. God does not require any works from a sinner. Good works do not make it easier, and bad works do not make it harder for you to get saved. It is free, friends. It is free. God justifies the sinner freely. Justification is the act whereby God declares a person righteous, even though that person in himself is not righteous. So first of all, we're justified freely. Now secondly, we're justified by his grace. That means that it comes from the heart of God without finding anything in the recipient that would draw out his grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for the undeserving sinner because Christ died for his sins on the cross. If we have to work for our salvation, then salvation is not by his grace. And here's a good question. If we can earn it, why did he die? Now, thirdly, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice it doesn't say the redemption that is in a church, or redemption that is in a man or a company of people. It's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is free to the sinner, but it cost God everything. Free is not cheap. As a matter of fact, salvation is the most expensive thing that has ever been paid. The cost of salvation was that God, the Word, who was God, read John chapter 1, the Word, who was God, had to become flesh and die for the sinner. God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, Webster, in the original Webster's Dictionary of 1828, defines redemption as follows. Now, here's his definition. The act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent. Listen to that again. This is Webster's definition of redemption. The act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent. We are all born in captivity to sin, and we cannot escape from its slavery no matter what we do. Sin against God requires a just payment. No man or church or works of any kind can pay this debt. But thanks be to God, the debt has been fully paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus did no sin. He knew no sin, and in him there is no sin. This is why his payment was acceptable. How do we know that what he did on the cross was an acceptable payment? Well, the answer is because God raised him from the dead. It would be the highest insult to offer to God your good works or religion in view of the fact that his own Son suffered on the cross and rose again from the dead to pay for your sins and justify you. So the answer to the question that we asked at the beginning, what must I do to be saved? Well, the answer is stop making excuses. In other words, keep your mouth shut. Romans 3 says that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law condemns us to death. And we should stop our mouths. We should stop making excuses and place ourselves in the qualifications category that we listed before. And what were those qualifications? We're sinners, we're ungodly, we're without strength. In other words, we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we're God's enemies. Recognize that we, by our sins, are those people. So stop making excuses. Acknowledge you're a sinner and receive the gift of salvation God has provided. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, by which also ye are saved, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15. Are you a believer now? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I hope you have. Now, if you're a believer, the next question is, what do I do now? What do I do now? And that's really a good question, isn't it? Now, dear friend, if you are a believer, you have the solution to the greatest problem that has plagued mankind, death. The Savior who died for you is coming back. Until he does, we are to serve him who died for us. If we die before he returns, God has promised us that we will be resurrected with a new body when Christ returns. But as you will see in the scriptures we're going to read here in a little bit, we may not die before he comes back. Regardless whether we live until the coming of the Lord or we die before that great event, we will all get a glorious body like our Lord's. Think of it. No more sin, sickness, or sorrow. And this is what distinguishes the Bible, biblical Christianity, from every other religion. Not only did Christ die for our sins and rise again from the dead, but God promises us in the Scripture that we're going to live for Christ now, and the believer, the one who's believed in the Lord Jesus, has the hope of a resurrection. That if we die before Christ comes, we're going to be raised from the dead too. And you know what's interesting? When Paul taught that great doctrine, they mocked him. And we're living in a day, even among those who call themselves Christians, where they're no longer teaching resurrection. They're teaching some underworld or afterlife experience. But friends, what distinguishes Christianity from all pagan religions is resurrection. We have a hope. And that hope is to be with our Lord in resurrection glory. And again, until that day, until we see our Lord, we are to read the Bible, believe the Bible, obey the Bible, and friends, pass this Bible on to others. Let others know about the glorious Savior we've discovered in the Scriptures. Now, Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He wrote about the Thessalonians, how they turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, even Jesus, our Deliverer, from the coming wrath. The Lord Jesus is coming. And you and I, who were once idolaters, now we may not have bowed down before idols that made of stone or any other materials, but we either worshiped our own intellect or we were our own gods. But we turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those who died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will all be with the Lord when this event takes place. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul also says in Titus chapter 2, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, this is what grace teaches us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. We're to live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So now, friends, let us learn from God's grace that teaches us to live looking for that blessed hope. One day we will see our Savior who died for us. Salvation, do you have it? I sure hope so, my friends. If you have any questions, you can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. This is Dan Sheridan. Again, our address is crossandthrone.com.